We are truly outdoors. Well, good morning again. And thank you, John, for our gospel reading. It's a theme we know quite well, that Christian leaders are not to rule in a bossy, worldly way, but should attend to the needs of the least among them, not looking for power or glory. There is, of course, an irony there. From the apostles and disciples of the early church to later generations in the official church of the empire, simplicity and humble service were put aside by many of its leaders, who very much wanted power and glory. A similar irony is there in our reading about the young King Solomon. He asks God for wisdom to lead so many disparate people. But then he amasses so much wealth and power that he can line the inner temple with gold, floor, ceiling, walls, everything. And he marries 700 foreign princesses and acquires 300 concubines, so that he becomes distant from his people for reasons that you'll just have to imagine. And his heart and mind are distracted as he worships their various gods. These spiritual principles are among the reasons why I am so fond of our ancient king, Saint Oswald. If you would turn to our hymn during communion, you'll see that he was the son of a regional chief. And although his father was a pagan, Oswald turned to Christianity, courtesy of a community of Irish monks who lived off the rocky Scottish coast. That's actually quite a good analogy for what we romantically refer to as Celtic Christianity. Rough and exposed to the elements and living on the edge of the world. Winning back his kingdom was not just an act of vengeance or politics of the time. Those early Northumbrian people were in need of the gospel of faith in Christ. They needed to hear of God's mercy and the humble, trusting life. So Oswald sent for a monk to teach them, but the first one was much too harsh, so he sent him back. But when Aidan came, they made a partnership of generous kingship and the life-giving gospel of love. The story goes that on one occasion, King Oswald and his knights were having a feast and some poor people came by who were hungry. So Saint Oswald sent out a great platter of food. But when that wasn't enough, he had his men cut up the silver platter so that the people could take the pieces and go and buy more. Famously, in their mission around his huge and diverse kingdom, the king would translate for Aidan, and the monk would teach and explain the Holy Trinity. And it all had to make sense to people that we would have found a bit rough. They lived and worshipped God in close contact with the elements, the fruitful earth, the challenging sea, and the ever-changing sky. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, however you want to assign them. And their religion would have been largely home-based, with a special house for the monks to make beautiful copies of the scriptures, you may have seen them, and to pray and grow food and teach the most scholarly boys, and prepare medicines and care for those in need. If you ever go up to Holy Island, make sure you check the tide table first, as you wouldn't be the first to get stuck or lost when the sea comes in and cuts it off. But there you can see the ruins of the later abbey, where those who followed the monks that Aidan gathered would have lived and worked and prayed. And even though those later monks were then subject to Roman order, they still lived in the same harsh environment that keeps a soul watchful and humble. We left home for me to train up in Durham, where those saints are still remembered and admired. And that's why I have, on this broad green stole, the cross of Aidan's successor, St. Cuthbert. You must never leave the band out. It's actually only about half that width. It's very tiny. Their stories may seem a bit colourful to us, implausible, mad. But for all our technology and cleverness, I believe they were much closer to the truest things that matter. That God can be found and worshipped everywhere, to wit, this morning. That God is not predictable or bland. That the greatest men or women, or children or beasts, can be brought low or raised up by God and his creation. And that nothing we think is permanent will last. And if that doesn't make us humble and gentle, then the word of God in Jesus should keep us in line. Whoever would be seen as great among you should set out to serve others and go unnoticed. And whoever wants to be powerful, making decisions, should get stuck in and do the unpleasant, unpopular tasks. And if anyone passes judgment on those who struggle, they should get down with them and help them onto their feet. And if anyone thinks they've nothing to learn or repent of, they should try telling that to their Maker, but they'd better be ready to learn the lessons of heaven here on earth. Let us pray for humility, and let us pray for wisdom. And may God help us to serve him in our own realms, as St. Oswald did so very long ago.